Slum is the way of life. 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 Slum is the way of life.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله MashaAllah, Azawajal, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our program. InshaAllah, Azawajal, our program today, a very important topic, I guess, and this topic is such an important topic that I say that sometimes, you know, where all the other evils, they start from this very first thing that people will do. So, InshaAllah, Azawajal, a very important topic, and sadly, it's too common in our communities. Our, you know, parents are worried at home. You know, sisters, brothers, you know, everyone worried at home because they've got someone who is, you know, drowned in this very sin. And not only a sin, but also a disease in our community. Inshallah, Azawajal, today we're going to discuss how bad this problem is, how we can get out of this problem, and Inshallah, Azawajal, how Dawat-e-Islami can help you to solve this problem. Inshallah, Azawajal. As normal, we've got, mashallah, Harun bhai. In the studio now, Alhamdulillah, Azawajal. Harun bhai, are you okay?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, had a good day today.
Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. Waseem bhai is here as well, MashaAllah. No Hafiz sahab, MashaAllah, smiling as normal. Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, ready for the kalam. Without any delay, inshaAllah, Azawajal, let's go and listen to the tilawat of the Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين استجابوا لربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وأمرهم شورى بينهم ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين إذا أصابهم البغي هم ينتصرون وجزاء سيئة سيئة مثلها فمن عفا وأصلح فأجره على الله إنه لا يحب الظالمين آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم صلى الله عليك يا وسلم عليك يا اللہ حضور ایسا کوئی انتظام ہو جائے حضور سلام کے لیے حاضر غلام ہو جائے سلام کے لیے حاضر قضا سے پھر میری دنیا میں شام ہو جائے سلام کے لیے حاضر غلام ہو حضور آپ جو چاہیں تو کچھ نہیں مشکل حضور آپ جو چاہیں تو کچھ نہیں سمٹ کے فاصلہ چند گام ہو جائے نصیب والوں میں میرا بنا نصیب والوں میں میرا بنا ہو جائے جو زندگی کی مدینے میں شام ہو جو زندگی کی مدینے میں شام ہو جائے حضور ایسا کوئی
وسلم.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. My Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you're watching our program. Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, we've got the Muballighin, MashaAllah, we're ready to talk about today's topic. And today we're going to be talking about drugs and smoking. It's a very, very common problem that we have in our neighborhoods, in our society today. And it's such a disease that is sadly, instead of decreasing, it is increasing and it's always on the high. You know, countries and people and governments have spent millions and billions of pounds to eradicate this disease, but still it's on the increase. And as Muslims, we should understand that we are bound to the hukum, the boundaries of Shariat. And as Muslims, these things Allah Ta'ala has made them in the Quran. It is mentioned that these things are haram, especially drugs that I'm talking about. And today we know that drugs, every community you go, every neighborhood that you go, you will find that not only boys, but sadly girls are also in this habit as well. So inshallah, we're going to talk about this topic. Harun Bhai, mashallah, and Waseem Bhai. Harun Bhai, you've talked about this topic many times. You've discussed these people, you know, with these people as well. Well, let's start off with yourself.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yeah, so it's a very, very important topic because, unfortunately, this is a topic that is tearing our society apart. Every few months we see a new drug that has been invented. It increases the highs that people apparently get. And what it does is it's an individual who takes the drug, but the damage isn't limited to the individual. Mm-hmm. Yes, he harms his body. Yes, he harms his soul. Yes, he harms his religion. Yes, but the problem is that that individual is part of a society. That individual is part of a community. That individual is part of a family. He's got children. He's got a wife. And this drug taking, he's got parents. Affects all of those people.
Yeah.
And it destroys not one life, but it destroys many. Just through ill health or something else. There was one story I was listening to where there was a person who was working, four children, nice house set up. And you know the waswasas of the shaitan where we get into depression over little things. So Allah tests us with problems. So he had a few problems, some financial, some others. And so being with the wrong crowd, and I'm going to come back to that a bit later on in detail, but what that did is easy fix. Oh, a bit depressed, a bit out, take this drug, take this pill. So he took the pills and he started to get addicted to this drug. And he kept it a secret initially. So he'd disappear at night with his so-called friends and he'd do this. And gradually his family started to discover his behavior changing. And then it affected his work, so he was fired from work. Mm. Then he was taking his wife's jewelry and selling that to buy drugs. Then he was going into the children's savings and buying drugs. And in the end, he completely destroyed the whole family setup because he had gone from what the waswasa of the shaitan was, that you've got a few problems, you need something to cope with them, you need to turn to drugs. And it completely wiped out the entire family. You know, and people like that, they often end up in prison. And I can't pull back after stuff. I have to use the term. People like that end up going to prison because what they do is when they lose their jobs, they then turn to, they think, well, I'll make an easy buck then. So then they become dealers, don't they? Because they think, I've got a bit of experience. I've been buying it for 6 months, so I'll become a dealer to make some money. So they'll go into that. They'll then get caught. They'll end up in prison. Their children will be living the life of a yatim. And you know, in this country especially, children without parents over their heads and father, the sons go astray, the daughters go astray, the whole house is torn to bits. And where did it all start? It started off by you appreciating the blessings of Allah that surround you from head to toe, but perhaps the test, and then the wrong company who said, well, we'll give you an easy fix for it. An easy fix. Here, smoke this, that's it. This will solve your problems.
So it's like a coping mechanism from one point of view. But one other thing, Hafizab Harun Bhai, is the reason why people turn to drugs, is a coping mechanism and people have problems. And there's many other reasons. And one of them reasons, Harun Bhai, it's a boredom as well. When you look at, especially the youngsters, the teenagers, they have nothing to do. They're free from school, or them years when they leave school or they're in college and they have nothing to they have so much spare time, they have nothing to do. So sometimes they get into less experiment with these things, and definitely your environment plays a big part. So my first plea to the parents would be that try to keep your children engaged, especially them years when they leave madrasa, unless they're 14, and they still got them 2 years where they're not in college yet, but they've left madrasa. That afternoon, that evening time they have free, try to keep them occupied. And they say that the devil makes work for idle thumbs. So if you don't keep them busy in good activities, naturally they're going to be inclined towards good.
Amir al-Sunnah says that, doesn't he, that if you don't do anything, any jobs that you... Kaam karne wale kaam karo, varna na karne wale kaam karoge. And one thing that I've noticed, I've talked to a few people, you know, you've been on the streets as well, you've been on the streets, Waseem bhai, talking to these lads. And one of the things that we do find out, and I've talked to these lads, you know, they start off from normal cigarette, yeah? Where your friends offered you a cigarette, and first of all, you're not taking that cigarette, and then they start taking, Mika, you're a woman, you're this, you're that. And just to, you know, to keep yourself with that crowd, you'll start to take a cigarette as well. And I would, you know, request those parents, especially the fathers or even the mothers as well, if you smoke, then what is happening? You're paving a way for your son to follow you as well. How can you turn around to your son or your daughter that don't smoke is bad for you when you're doing it yourself? And I've seen it as well. I've asked a few lads on the streets, how did you start off with this, you know? And at this moment of time, Harun bhai, majority of them, they said it was that first cigarette that we took. It was just a normal cigarette. Then what happened was, you know, we started, you know, our friends used to give cigarettes free to us, but they were not free. They were going to get loads of work out of you. So first of all, it's a few cigarettes free, and then what happened? Okay, guy, you gotta, you know, you gotta pay for me, you know, these cigarettes now. Okay, just do me a little job, just drop this off to my friend and I'll give you a cigarette. So it starts off with the cigarettes. I've seen that so many times. So, you know, even from a good company, just because you've got this bad habit of taking cigarettes, you know, it's going to take you away from that as well.
Also, two things. One is, you know, we've been working with a lot of youngsters, and a lot of the brothers who do will guarantee this. But see, mate, there's not one person you've spoken to who's been smoking or is a drug addict or been smoking cannabis or anything like that, who says that, I'm glad I did it. Never have you ever come across one person, you know, in all my lifetime. Everyone that you speak to says, I regret it. So that's a lesson for those who are young at the moment and not involved in this, that they regret it. And why do something that millions of people are saying we regret? Now, the other thing is, it's an addiction. But, you know, some benevolent sharing, you know, I'm 10 men. You know, when we walk down the street, we walk with that walk as if I can take one. And then they come to you and say, but I can't quit smoking. And you think, well, how pathetic is that? You know, you're telling me you can bench press 200. You're telling me you can, you know, do this. You can play football for an hour. You can do everything else. You're telling me you're not scared of anything, yeah? And yet, this little addiction has got the better of you.
It's mind over matter, Harun bhai. You just got to be strong-minded. And a lot of people stop if they say... you see, I've spoke to people who said that, inshallah, I'll stop, and I finished this box of cigarettes. You're just tricking yourself, and it's never going to stop like this. And you mentioned earlier, Hafiz Sahab, it always starts with cigarettes. I remember when I was in school, the first, you know, when you go down the wrong path, it starts with, in our area, they call it skiving, you know, when you...
We used to
skive from the lessons, and then they hang around, and then the next cool thing to do is to start smoking, like you mentioned. And see, you see, nobody, the more harder drugs, which are known as the crack and the cocaine, nobody will go on that straight away. There's always a stage. It starts off from skiving to the wrong crowd to smoking cigarettes, and then it goes to cannabis. And talking about cannabis, this is very very common in our society, unfortunately. And one thing about cannabis is, it's a calming drug and it alters perception. So people think that this will make my troubles go away, it'll keep me calm. But as well as these two things, it makes you happy at times, but it makes you feel lethargic, very anxious and paranoid and even psychotic. They forget that bit of the side effects of these drugs. And these are this is the knowledge that the youngsters need to know, that before you even try, there's one thing is against the Sharia, there's one thing that is against the commands of Allah Almighty, but we should realize that these have so many negative effects that we should avoid having it, because it's not, like you said, a problem for yourself, but it causes a problem to the larger, the extended family and everybody else.
You know, you mentioned cannabis. There was a friend of mine a long time ago, and he had got in with the wrong crowd, and he started to smoke cannabis on a regular basis.
True.
Now, honestly, hand on heart, I knew him, I grew up with him, and he was one of the cleverest people around. He was really astute, you know, academically, he was great. And over time, what had happened, he was always ahead of us. He always used to be, the, you know, first, and his handwriting was so beautiful. Honestly, I still remember it to this day. And he got in with the wrong crowd, and he started to smoke. And you know, when you told him, oh, yeah, this doesn't do anything, this is harmless, you know. And they always give you that spiel, yeah? And that's what he was saying. And I actually saw with my own eyes over the years, I saw him deteriorate. He was a couple of years younger than me, but he looked older than me because of the effect it had. And then one day, you know, as you get older, a lot of your friends, you say, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, but you don't really sit down and talk to them.
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to sit down and talk to him. And honestly, I was a shock of my life, because I sat him down. And to be honest, I was trying to do infradi koshish on him. And, you know, but when I analysed his mental capacity, you see, I had known him as one of these very, very clever lads. And I was trying to speak to him on that level. And I'm realizing this guy's mind has changed so much that he's almost not following me. And I wasn't there saying anything complicated, but he just isn't following me. Because gradually what it does is, it not only does it cause psychosis, but it also destroys your brain in such a way and narrows your thinking. See, the brain is an amazing mechanism. And the way you think and the way you perceive and everything else and the way Allah Azzawajal blesses you. Now, if you do use this, they still don't know what the effects of this drug are, and so it completely destroys you, honestly. And that happened in front of me. And I'm just going to come back to one example. There was a friend of mine, he'd been smoking since he was 12, right? Since he was 12, very good friend of mine. And he got a job and really doing really well. He was a computer engineer and very, very clever, and he got a very good job as well. But he couldn't quit smoking, and he was smoking in his car, and his daughter was with him. And she was only about 3, 4 or 5. He was dropping her off at nursery or school. And the daughter started coughing. It was because of the smoking. You know, the cars stink, don't they? And it was because the car was stinking. Even though he wasn't smoking at that time, he realised why the daughter was coughing. And honestly, he'd been smoking for 20-something years. You know, he said, he grabbed the pack, he threw it out of the window and said, I'm not smoking again. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, it's been about 6, 7 years, he hasn't gone back to it. That I rate, honestly, I rate him.
You know, the thing is, at this moment of time, if you have someone smoking cigarettes, and say, oh, they're harmful, you know, how can they be, you know, if they know that, it only says on the pack as well. You know, there was one picture that they showed that this guy had a throw and he was like half open. And you think to yourself, people know that this is a problem. Why would they still want to go towards that? You know, talking about, you know, because parenting has got a lot to do with this as well. You know, because you need to understand where your children are, who your children are friends with. And sometimes, you know, sadly, you know, parents don't even realize that. You know, you've got people even now, you know, inside the house, they'll be seen, the whole family will be there, little babies will be there, and they'll start to smoke. Yeah, but they don't understand that there was a reason why the smoking was banned inside, you know, the houses. They'll go to work and they'll go outside and smoke, but at home, because it's their own, they'll smoke. And you know, family members, even little babies and children, all there, and they'll be puffing away. Sometimes people say it's very hard smoking. I know an Islamic brother, I don't want to mention his name, he used to smoke 40 cigarettes a day. And he went on a Hajj with us, and we were talking about this, and he goes, from now on, if you ever see me smoking, I go, inshallah, until today, you know, leaving 40 cigarettes in one day, till today, these 8 years have passed by, he's never touched a cigarette.
You know, like I was saying, this destroys families. There was a friend of my Qibla Walid Sahib, and their younger brother, so in his late 40s, probably 45-ish, this is a few years ago, and he passed away. He left his kids, he left a family, and he left everything else. And, you know, the entire family was distraught. And I remember me and my mama, we drove down south, I think it was somewhere in Nottingham or wherever, and we went to do, you know, condolences, Fatiha Sharif, and We went in and Uncle G was sat there and we started speaking to him. Uncle G, you know, what happened? Because we didn't know exactly how he'd passed away. He said he was in hospital, he had a few problems and ailments and everything else. And so he said, what was the main problem? He said, well, it was a cigarette, yeah. And he said, all right, get the neck. And he goes, Drachardiri. And I'm kind of taken aback, I'm thinking.
Social smoker, maybe.
Drachardiri, yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, how that has caused so much problems that he has died at this age and left a bitchy and everything else, and everybody was really distraught. And Mamu said, Trachar Dabia? And he said, yes.
Hello.
He was smoking 3 or 4 boxes of 20s a day, hello, and he took himself to an early grave. This is how addictive it is.
You know what people do, Harun Bhai? Shaitan was supposed to say, but you know, people nowadays, the problem is that if you talk to these youngsters, you know, they say, oh, cannabis is not bad, it's not like alcohol, it doesn't, you know, do anything to your mind, so it's okay to smoke.
I'll tell you what cannabis does to you. It gives you paranoia, it makes you aggressive.
Can you explain what paranoia is as well?
That always, like, vam. Vam, when this happened, or this is going to happen. Okay. Thoughts like this. So you get.
No, I didn't know what paranoia is. I thought, and part of it,
I'll explain it in more detail. Once the finished, I'm going to go into more detail.
Paranoia. You know, you're saying that they say, oh, kuch nahi honda, nothing happens. It's just, you know, just to make you relax. Mm-hmm. But the side effects, people who've studied this, who get paid to study the effects of drugs like cannabis, they'll tell you that it causes paranoia, it causes aggressiveness, it causes hallucinations, addiction, impaired judgment and loss of self-control. These are some of the things.
And in some countries, I've heard that it's legal to take cannabis.
That's right.
Because they can't control it and they put it legal. And, you know, we don't want to name any country, but it's because, you know, is that right?
The philosophy is, basically what they think is people are, there's this massive market, people are buying and selling it, we can't control it, it costs millions to police, so if people want to kill themselves, let them, and at the same time we'll make some money off the taxes. It's like alcohol, they make, you know, millions, yeah? So what they think is, legalise it, we'll make some money out of it, if people want to do it, it's their own business. Now, just coming back to the point that Mashar Simba was making about this disease, basically your life, from the moment you get up to the moment you go to sleep, evolves around how your brain deals with everyday things. Mm. How you perceive matters, how you deal with relationships, how you deal with your family, everything else, all is dependent on your brain. What psychosis does is it completely destroys your ability to deal with people. You feel like, you know, you must have had that feeling. We all get it from time to time. Some of the times it's waswas of the shaitan. Sometimes perhaps we're underdeveloped. So he's out to get me. This is wrong. That is wrong. You pick up the negatives. Basically what happens is this. You take everything negative like a sponge and the world becomes your enemy. You cannot cope, you cannot deal with it. So if the laptop, if the iPad falls off the desk, it's the end of the world. You know, if I lose my earpiece, it's the end of the world. Mm. And that's it, you know. Mm. Instead of a normal, rational person saying, well, so what, I'll go pick it up. It's got a picture of Medina Sheaf, I'll kiss it as well and I get swabbed for that as well. That's a normal person. Well, a psychotic person will think, right, that's it. Don't touch that again, it's bad luck. And they spend their lives in these fears. And it completely destroys their thinking. It causes disorders, it causes delusions, it causes bad dreams, it causes schizophrenia. And it's just a bad scale. And where does it start off with? It starts off with these drugs like cannabis, which, you know, your mates tell you, oh, well, let's stop. Because this is a common thing. Oh, it's a good laugh.
Yeah.
You know, we can have a giggle. And it does, what it does is when they do smoke it, it causes them to get giddy. And they think, right, that little giddy feeling. And then what the shaitan does is come and instills in his mind, you've got problems. You need to let it out. You need to have your time. So therefore, that justifies you taking drugs. And today it's cannabis, tomorrow it'll be heroin, and then it'll be cocaine or whatever, yeah? And you gradually go on the scale. Now, there's a lot of brothers who I'm sure are sat out there saying, oh, it doesn't work that way, Harun Bhai. Well, you speak to those who are on heroin and cocaine, and you ask them, like Hafiz Sahab said, did they go first to the corner, you know, to the drug dealer?
It's a ladder, isn't it?
It's a ladder. Did they say to the drug dealer, I'm not trying the fags, I'm not trying the cannabis, I'm not trying the tablets, yeah? I want to go straight for the big stuff.
The deep end.
The deep end, yeah? They don't do that.
No.
Most of these users of heroin have actually, and those who are injecting themselves, have built up slowly over years and years. And the reason is simple. The psychology is simple. What happens is this. These people look for a quick fix to their problems.
Yeah.
They're looking for that high.
Indeed.
Right? So initially, the cigarette might do it. Then, no, the cigarette is you know, not doing it anymore. So then it's the cannabis.
So the body probably gets used to it.
Body gets used to it, and it's not producing that quite high. So then it's the next level. Then it's the next level. And then often these people who are associated with this carrot are in with the wrong crowd, so they're in the wrong place. So if they're at, you know, the wrong place and the clubs and all that, then they get offered. They think, ah, are you smoking a, you know, spliff? Yeah, no, 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 you want these tablets. And then they take the tablets, and the next day they think, oh, that was great. And that's the line that it goes through. And what they'll do now is, now they've lost control. They cannot, you know, very few make it back.
There's no turning back.
There's no turning back, because you have now stepped onto a conveyor belt where the shaitan is pushing you. You've got these mini shaitans, because we think the shaitan is just the jinn shaitan. The people who give you bad ideas, the glorious Quran says they are shaitan as well. These are shaitan as well. You have, what you've done is you've jumped into the middle of these shayateen, and you're running on a conveyor belt, and they're pushing you in the direction of the conveyor belt now, and then you're trying to get off, and you can't. But it's your choice. Why have you allowed yourself to be in there? And when you're in that state, there is only one solution. If you're in that state, only a pire kamil. You know, and there are many, many people who have, you know, who are druggies, and a pire kamil has taken hold and got them out of that, you know, shayateen crowd and brought them back. And alhamdulillah, in Dawat Islami, there are hundreds of brothers who've changed their environment and have never looked back.
Inshallah, we're going to talk about some of the things, how we can help. The thing is, we don't, as they say, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. So we want to help these guys as well. Jee Vaseem, you were going to mention something.
I was going to say that my message to those people who smoke is when I was younger, when I remember, cigarettes used to be like £2.50 or something like that.
How old are you? 60 now.
So it's a few points here is that the youngsters, how, I don't know how they can afford, I think they're 10, 11, 12 pounds. So before it was like, so it's, first of all,
I'll get someone on the case.
So it's 12 pounds, let's say they're 10 pounds. So 10 pounds for a box of cigarettes, 70 pounds a week, if most people, if they're smoking one box a day, 70, and then if you add that up, it's like 300 pounds or something for 30 days. Now if you think about it, 300 pounds a month, you know, people are probably paying in some areas less than that rent to live in a house.
3,600 pounds a year.
You could probably lease at the latest 4x4 with that much, with less than that money. And people are spending that, smoking it, and then moving on to the people who smoke drugs. On top of this, and then they're smoking like the 10, 15, 20 pounds worth of drugs on top of this. And then after that, they get these munchies, and then they spend more money on extra food and sweets. I don't know how it's possible to afford, and this is the low level of drugs. I'm not talking about crack cocaine and the more expensive. I'm talking about the basic, what someone might
go. That's what Harun Bhai was mentioning, is that they get onto the case that they start selling their, you know, their wives' jewelry, their children saving money. There was a case, Harun Bhai, where we went on a Madani kafila, and a buzurg came and he saw this Tamradas sat in a study circle, and we were learning about the practical salah. And the buzurg came and he just started to cry. And he goes, you know, how lucky your parents are that, you know, you're in the masjid, in the house of Allah, learning about the deen of Allah. Whereas I've just left my house, I've had a right ding-dong with my son, and, you know, basically he's just sworn at me, and I just walked out of the house because I don't want to confront him because I'm scared of him. You know, that's the problem. The father is scared of his own son for what he's going to do. And sadly, you know, there's so many cases like that. I used to have a friend, you know, in the heyday. There's a few of them, but Allah Ta'ala ka shukar ke, you know, alhamdulillah, azawajal, the guide, true good guidance from parents, and also, mashallah, from the masjid and the mahol, you know, kept away from them. But though, sadly, what happened, they started to drift away. You know, one of them sadly has passed away, but he was in such a state that every day his parents would have to go to hospital nearly 20 miles away and, you know, stay with him all day long. It's the day of Eid, everyone's enjoying, but no, not for this family. It's not a day of enjoyment. They had to wake up early in the morning and go 20 miles to the hospital and sit with their son all day long. He's passed away now. May Allah Ta'ala forgive him. But this is what the case is. Like you mentioned, the families get involved. And, you know, we get loads of messages. Nigrani Shura was doing a bayan the other day that, you know, women at home, sadly, when, you know, they're writing letters, they're just out there crying just for help. And this, you know, some of the cases is that my son's coming, her husband's coming back home. He's really aggressive. He's on high. He doesn't even know who I am. He does, you know, he doesn't even look at his children. He slaps them, hits them. I just can't imagine living in a house where all this is happening.
I've said one of the fundamental things that at the moment we haven't caught up with. We still live in kind of the old times, the elders. Gee. In our time, when I think it was Imbay's younger than us, but in our time you will remember that there was a few people in the whole of the school who used to smoke.
Yeah.
You knew them. Gee. And they used to go to the back end of the school, behind the rubbish bins, and there's two or three of them, and they used to smoke that. And the rest of us, we used to think, these are really bad lads. Mm. And, you know, that was the thing. And that was the limits of their thing. They didn't go beyond that. Indeed. Smoking was it. Now, a lot of parents, unfortunately, we've seen where they still live in that cloud cuckoo land. Mm. And I have to give them the wake-up call.
Indeed.
Things have moved on with social media, with the era we're living in, with the technological things that, you know, the children have access to. That isn't the case anymore. Now, a lot of these children are being offered drugs. A lot of these children have got the opportunity to take drugs. Mm. So you need to be aware, first of all, parental awareness.
Indeed.
And then you need to inform the children as well. They need to be aware of the dangers and everything else. What's the point if, as a parent, I am living in cloud cuckoo land and thinking it's not going to happen to my child, and I don't inform her, I don't, you know, tell my children about this and educate them about this, yeah? And then when it's too late, I come and cry on half a sub shoulder saying, my son's now dealing in drugs, forget taking them. Mm. It's too late then.
So there's some telltale signs, so like you mentioned. So parents need to be aware of these things. If your child is coming home and going straight in the room, all of a sudden his behavior is changing, he's having mood swings, these are some of the telltale signs for somebody who takes drugs. If their eyes are really red, even though they sleep on time and they wake up on time, these kind of things, you gotta, as a parent, you gotta notice these things. All of a sudden your son's got two phones, you think, well, why has he got two phones? Because drug dealers, and you know, like what I mentioned the point earlier about, it's so expensive to smoke drugs, take drugs, then the next step is, let's start selling it, one, to fill our own habit, and secondly, to make a bit of quick money. Because you see on the streets, you see people with the latest sports car, and you think they've made money really quickly. Mm. And this is one reason as well why our children, the teenagers, are inclined towards selling drugs, because they think they can be rich quick.
Someone sent in a message and they said that, you know, sometimes, you know, at home in the family, yeah, where the father, you know, is telling his son off, don't do that, don't do that, mother's put in and they say, you're always, you know, talking, you know, that just, that's it, mum's on my side, I can do whatever I want. You know, so some of the telltales, I was sat in a field, yeah, this is before Dawat Islami, I came in. And you know, we went to this guy, and you know, Gadi Khaldis, you know, in the far end of the field, and you think to yourself, we've never seen a car parked over here. Must be someone dodgy going on. Mm. So you know, a few of us went there, and we saw these two people in the car smoking away, and it was drugs. And you know, I said to him, you know, if your dad was here, you know, the guy who was on the driver, I goes, if your dad was here, what would you do? Do you feel pata lagal? And he goes, he's my dad. We've got Hafiz Sahab for a kalam, inshallah.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa sallam alayka ya
جو ساقی کو
MashaAllah. My Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, a very important topic we're talking today is about smoking and drugs. Why we put them together is because smoking is the first step and then it leads on to drugs and then more other serious things. Harun bhai, have you met any people who take drugs and what feedback have they given you? And you know, how, what can you tell the viewers that this is what I saw in that person?
I've said, but there's a person I knew quite well, and I met him a few years ago, and he'd gone off to, I think, Manchester or London, I can't remember now exactly where, and he was trying to make a career for himself, and I met him in near Bolton Town Centre, and that was a few years ago. Honestly, I'm never going to forget that meeting. He was in a state where, honestly, he was mentally not there, but not just that. His teeth were almost rotted. His face, and he's probably younger than me, and his face was in a bad state. So I was like, what happened? And he wouldn't tell me, obviously. He's not going to tell me. So I then contacted his brother, and I said to his brother, you know, what happened? Because he used to be with us in mosque and everything else. And he said, bye, he got into the wrong crowd. And we've been trying for years. He comes back and then he just relapses and his life. And he's about probably our age, maybe 6 months younger or something. Still hasn't, no family, no wife, lives away from his parents, doesn't see. And he just comes for a few weeks in a year to see his family when he gets depressed too far. Mm-hmm. And other than that, that's his life. And if I was to sit down, I've not had the opportunity. We tried to make contact with him and when I was had some time, and we couldn't, unfortunately. But so I thought I would give it a try. But his life, I mean, that's his life. And this is the reality of it. And you know, I'm going to come back to the point that Wasim Bey beautifully made. If there's a vacuum, then your children will try and fill it with something. Now, there are two ways we can deal with that vacuum. What a lot of these grammar schools, for example, do is they know that at that age, between 12 and 16, 17, the kids will want to diversify. They want to engage in different things and they want to explore things. So one of the philosophies they have is that they pile them with so much work, right? That literally they'll have homework from each subject each night, and if they don't do it, they're in strict trouble the next day, yeah?
Okay.
And because it's one of those grammar schools, getting in there isn't easy. Indeed. So the parents and everybody's pressurizing them. And one of the philosophies is that it will keep the children away from the wrong thing. Now, that's one. That's a good one as well.
When we give homework from the masjid, they say, boom, homework, don't you?
Oh, that's just the parents as well. But the point I was going to make, Hafsab, is this. That, you know, in Islamic terms, we don't give them, as the child is growing up, we don't try to fill that vacuum with Islamic knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's where the problem is. You know, a child who's been through the Islamic upbringing, who as a young child, you've been taking him to the masjid, you've been teaching him the importance of salah. He's grown up from the age of 6, 7, 8, reading salah 5 times a day, right? He's grown up reading the Quran, you've taught him the translation, and you know, you've taught him all these things. Then, what the shaykh that Hafiz Saab read, the lips on, you know, the philosophy of that couplet was, okay, we're willing to drink, but we want the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want the love of the awliya Allah. Mm. And that doesn't come, you know, you expect your child, what we expect is this. My child's going to wake up one day and he's going to say, I'm in love with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm in love with Hazur Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala. I'm in love with Hazur Data Saab. Mm-hmm. And we've never taught him who these hastis are. Some are lucky, you know, their children find a Madani Mahal, whether it's Dawat Islami or the Buzurgani Deen, and they do that, yeah? But the majority of them have that vacuum, and we're failing in that. And let me just give you the last example I'm going to give you. There was a brother from Blackburn, and senior Negran, and he told me that many, many years ago, there was a knock at his door, and there's an elderly Buzurg there, and he came in and he said, I'm here to kiss your hands and feet. Can I kiss your hands and feet? And I goes, Hazrat, you know, you want to kiss my hands and feet? You just back off. Down, yeah. And he was serious.
Yeah.
I said, look, explain to me what's going on. He goes, look, my son was a drug dealer. He used to shout and swear at me and tell me and his mum to go, you know, and we were a waste of time in his life, yeah? And now you've been taking him on the Madani Kaflas of Dawat Islami. He now looks for us to massage our feet, and when he goes out of the house, he kisses our hands. So you have made him do that. I've come to kiss your hands and your feet.
Allah. Makes sense. You know, when you're in a religious environment, or you try yourself to become religious, or do any good action, it pulls you away from the bad, the negative, the opposite side. So, for example, I know my parents are watching, so Abaji, just put on mute for a couple of seconds. I used to smoke myself, and I know that environment. And when I came into this Madni Mahal, I realized you can't continue reading with Jamaat 5 times namaz and be smoking cigarettes at the same time. Why? Because the masail of bringing a bad smell into the masjid. So one had to give, you either stop the smoking or you start offering your namaz at home, or namaz that don't read at all. Mm-hmm. So you have a choice then, and then it goes in your nails and it's in your clothes and everywhere. So, you know, when you have a beard and the beard's growing and you're smoking and you're ducking and diving, because it doesn't look good. It doesn't, when people looking at you think, hey, Maulvi, the cigarette being the bad, even though we're not going to say it's forbidden, it's haram, like in, when you're smoking these cigarettes, it doesn't go with the image. So when you track, when you're on this track, when you're on this Madni Mahal, or you try to become religious, some things naturally you will realize that I can't bring this with me. Mm-hmm. So you leave them behind. So I've known a lot of Islamic brothers who have left their cigarettes, Mashallah, and everything. When I was doing infradi question, a brother once, and he goes, I don't really like the Madni Mahal of Dawat Islami. And Harun Bhai, I go to him, what's your reason? And he said that a lot of the brothers in the Madni Mahal used to be drug dealers, or they used to smoke weed, or they used to smoke. So I go, look, you're looking at it as a negative. Alhamdulillah, shukar alhamdulillah karni chahiye. With these people who used to smoke, who used to sell drugs or take drugs, are now on the straight and narrow. So this is one of the, I think this is a good thing, that if all the drug dealers or ex-drug dealers, if they were in this Madni Mahal, that's one less drug dealer, one less drug user on the streets, inshallah. So my request
definitely, mashallah. And have you met any, you know, anyone on the street that you had one-to-one with regarding this problem?
About drugs?
Ji.
Many, many. I know a lot of friends who have known for 20 years.
Allahu Akbar.
And, you know, we used to be in the same circle. And if I look at them now, alhamdulillah, my life took a great turn towards the better.
Mashallah.
And I joined this Madni Mahal. But there's so many people who... The thing with drugs is that when people take drugs, they experiment at the beginning. Mm. When they're 16, 18, we'll try a bit, we'll have X. And then, unfortunately for Allah, it becomes a habit. And then it becomes an addiction to wherever they're going, whichever the event is, whatever day is, wherever they want to go out, they always have to score. Let's go and buy some drugs first, and then we'll do what we're going to do. To the extent, now I know people who are 38, 39, 40, close to my age and a few years older, that they can't go sleep without drugs, without smoking cannabis.
Allah,
they can't function, they believe, they can't function without taking these drugs. And their life, a lot of them, they might not be married. I know a few of my friends, unfortunately, who are in this situation, and drugs and this lifestyle has played a big point today, that they're 35, 40 years old, and it's like their life has been on pause since they were 18 years old. Since they started taking them drugs, at that age, there's no progression. They're not being married. They're not going up the career ladder. They're not having any children. It just seems like that drugs has become their life, and their life is frozen. There's no progression.
Harvey, what is the problem then? You know, for example, I haven't met anyone apart from a few. But you know, when you ask them, you know, why are you doing it for? You know, look at the problems. You know, I had a friend very close to me, and you know, he was doing hifas as well. He did about 11, 12 spari, and he stopped it, And then he went onto the other line, and you know, I went onto this other line. And you know, when you meet him after a few years, and like you mentioned, you know, and you think, don't you realize why is it that you don't understand that you're wrong? You know, your parents don't want to talk to you, your family members, they don't like you. You know, you have arguments at home. Look at yourself physically as well. You're a goner. Why do people not understand that?
Sometimes there are those gaps from an early age. And the other thing is this. Again, it comes back to your vacuum argument. If you are going to take them away from drugs, you've got to fill it with something. So you might have somebody who's taking even the hard drugs.
Indeed.
He manages to give up. But then if you give him a vacuum, he will go back to it. He will relapse. And the ruhaniyat, you know, that spirituality, it protects you. It's ruhaniyat is an amazing thing, where you develop it, you become closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla, but also the spirituality actually protects you. You know, the namaz protects you, the reading of the Quran protects you, the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla protects you. It stops you from going towards these things. Reading through the Pak, it stops you. When you have a craving, read through the Pak and watch the amazing effects. Let me tell you a beautiful story about ruhaniyat. I had a bayan in Bryfield a few years ago. And one of the brothers there, really beautiful brothers of Karbay, he said, right, you Ruti at my house, you've got to come, you know. So I couldn't say no. So I went there and there was a few brothers there, there was four or five of us. So we're eating away and they says to me, how did you come into the Madni Mahal? So I said, you know, Alhamdulillah, Jameel Bhai and Khalid Bhai, you know, they sent me on the Madni Kaflas and Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you know. And
the rest is history.
The rest is history, in the early days, you know, back in 2000, 2001, that sort of era. I've always had an admiration for Amir al-Sunnat since a long, long time. People used to say, you know, if you know Wali of Allah, and I said, look, they're hidden, but there's one I know. And it's Amir al-Sunnat. And that was before I was a murid as well. You know, I always had an admiration for Amir al-Sunnat. And so, you know, I came into the Mahal that way. So I described mine a few. And then one brother, he was there and he goes, I came into the Madni Mahal. I was actually into drugs and everything else. And we were out on the street. And we thought, we need some food. We didn't have the money. So we thought, there's a mehfil in that mosque, Dawat Islami mehfil. And what we'll do is we'll gate crash it. We'll go in, and we're going towards the end, and then when they do the food, we'll have the food and come back out. So he says, fine. So he goes, we went in, and Khalid Bey's bayan. Khalid Bey was doing his bayan. It was towards the end, and then at the end, he did the targhib for becoming a murid. So I'm sat there, and this is from his own words, own lips, and I've heard it. He said, I'm sat there, and I'm thinking, I can't be bothered repeating what he's saying. I thought, oh, what's the harm? I'll just repeat what he's saying. So he goes, I repeated all of it, and as he was saying it, it was kind of sinking in, and okay. He goes, from that day that I became a murid of Amir al-Sunnat,
SubhanAllah.
He said, I took a dislike to everything I was doing that was wrong. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it just, my heart changed from that one session. I left my friends, I came into the Madni Mahal of Dawat Islami, mashallah, he grew a beard, Imam Ashif, this brother sat there in front of me, we were all mesmerized by Alhamdulillah, how he changed. Knowing nothing, you know, knowing Fradi Kosh is nothing.
Alhamdulillah.
It was ruhaniyat.
Ruhaniyat is the And mashallah, so you know, viewers will be shocked that because of Madani Channel, many people have changed their lives by just sitting at home and watching Madani Channel. So Alhamdulillah, the thing is, you need that dedication, don't you? If you want to change, there's so many things, there's so many ways that you can. But if you think to yourself, nah, I don't want to change. I can remember a few years ago, Nigrani Shura did a program on drug abuse and all that. And he was going to the drug users. And there was they interviewed this guy. He had a very big business, you know, in a city. He had a good family, everything. That's they said, you know, he was minted. That was a life. But he goes that just by meeting with one person, that one person took him where? From a mansion, he took him, brought him to the streets. You know, and now Nigrani Shura, when they were filming this guy, you know, he says that, look, Amora, you can film me. And where does he live? He lives under a bridge. He's homeless, he's left his family, family's kicked him out, all his business sold out, and he's on the streets now. Just why? Because of one person.
You know, that reminds me of this Ayah Mubarak I was reading earlier. It's the glorious Quran, Surah Baqarah Sharif, ayat number 195. And do not fall into ruin with your own hands.
Allahu Akbar. Allah,
you know, that is something that, you know, we need to take. What we are doing is our apne hatu se, we're destroying ourselves.
So the brothers need to realize, and the sisters, unfortunately, is that when they make that phone call, and when they get past this 10 pounds worth of cannabis, this is the ayah, this is the verse what they should be playing in their heart and mind.
And do not fall into ruin with your own hands. And you make a very beautiful point there, and I made a note of it earlier, I was going to come back to it. At the moment, you know, this might shock you, but our biggest problem is that our daughters, our sisters in colleges and universities are turning to drugs. And this is a big, big problem.
When we used to go to a studio in Bradford, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a certain route that I never wanted to take. You know, I always go the long way there. Why? Because, you know, if you go the shorter way, there's a nightclub down the way. And this nightclub, it's a shisha bar. Say, oh, nightclub, then it's a shisha bar. Nothing wrong happens in there. Like in that nightclub, that shisha bar is full of young Pakistani, British, Muslim girls and boys. You know, and you know, when I only passed there once or twice, Shurutu, and then I thought, you know, you can't really take that. You know, we don't have that iman, willpower. I'm talking about myself to go in there and give them neki ki dawat as well. So I started, you know, going the other way. But this is so sad. You know, our fathers. You know, when your daughter goes out somewhere, even, you know, she goes out to a restaurant to eat. You know, oh, it's only us. We're all girls going together. Why though? You know, where is your gharat at that time that your daughter is going with her friends to go to a restaurant? So, you know, parents, they cover them up. Oh, you need a restaurant, you can't eat it. Khane te gaye kya kare usse the fir baad hi pashtasi banda. And you know, then you start, you know, thinking to yourself. I spoke to a father where, you know, he says that ma'azallah, I live in a house and this is somewhere close where we are now, and he goes, just imagine, you know, staying at home and then the doorbell rings and my daughter's gone. It's not a boy, it's a girl, it's his boyfriend that comes inside and takes my daughter away, and I'm there, I can't do anything at that time because I'm scared of him. But you know what he says, Harun bhai, Allah ta'ala forbid, yeah, he says, what goes around comes around. He goes, I did exactly the same when I was young as well.
Allah.
So now what's happened, that your sins can rub off to your children. So he did this all his life when he was growing up, and now when he's got daughters and sons of his own, now he's in that state where he can't even say anything. Now think to yourself, these people who are smoking drugs and alcohol and all these kind of things, what you are doing today might not affect you, no one might find out, but remember, it's going to come back to you and it's going to haunt you, and that time is going to be really, really difficult. Ji, mashallah, Afsal, let's go to you.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah wa sallam alayka ya Habiballah. Bula lo pe hume shahe baharo pe Madi
बड़े बड़े गुण गाते فضل رب سے چرچے ہیں عطار کے انشاءاللہ دونوں جہاں میں انشاءاللہ ان کے صدقے ہوگا بیڑا پار میرے مرشد ہیں عطار میرے مرشد ہیں عطار میرے مرشد ہیں عطار میرے مرشد ہیں عطار
MashaAllah.
Hafiz sir, we're talking about cigarettes, and one thing we might have just overlooked is vaping.
That's a good point. Another problem.
Because something which is now becoming predominant in a lot of youngsters, and they're thinking that it's a healthier alternative. A lot of parents as well, they might be thinking that it's okay, koi nahi itna. But when cigarettes first came out, there wasn't that much awareness. You know, the adverts used to be that it's really cool to smoke, and then over time, 50, 60 years later, now the package is so difficult to start smoking. I don't know how people don't get put off with the size of the picture, like you already mentioned, the cigarette box, and how expensive it's become. I'm still surprised how people, new smokers have started.
You know, that's a very good perception. That's a very good point that was seen by Mix. You know, when, 100 years ago, whenever the tobacco started, a lot of people thought it was cool to smoke. But not only that, they thought it was actually good for you.
There's a few.
And then it took years and years and years for them to find out what the long-term effects are. These aren't those sort of things where, it's not hard drugs. Because hard drugs, you take them at night, you might be dead in the morning. Yeah. It's as simple as that, You go to, you shouldn't be going anywhere near these clubs or anything else. But when people offer people tablets, how many cases, we see them every week on the news, where people have died because they've taken mixtures of all these different tablets. But with these
e-cigarettes,
a lot of people think, it's a good alternative. But the only reason at the moment is a good alternative is because simply the research isn't there. If you look at the little amount of research there is, actually they're saying this could be worse than cigarettes because we don't know what damage they're doing deep inside the body.
Because tobacco, end of the day, is a plant. So to some extent, you could say it's natural, not that we're promoting smoking.
You know, the people who smoke cigarettes, they might have a few a day. You know, with these electronic cigarettes, they've got this big device, and it's massive, isn't it? I mean, I've seen it in people's hands, they're about the size of...
There's some bazookas.
And they're smoking away on it, but they're constantly going all day. You know, they don't put it down. So it's like...
Some people, what they believe, I had one question, I can remember asking Mufti Sahab. They said, we know smoking breaks your roza, but vaping is different. It is. Wallahu alam where they got the idea from.
There is an important point in that, Avasab. You know, some people, they want to quit, and they try, and they keep kind of relapsing and going back. One of the most effective things is this. Pray your salah, make a dua. When you get up in the morning, make a dua. When you do the zikr of Allah, make a dua. When you read the Quran, make a dua. Constantly make a dua that Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq, give me the ability to quit. And because the acceptance of those duas, you will develop the strength to do it. And a lot of brothers have said that. You know, simply, you're trying to give up on your own is difficult. But when you take the rope of Allah and His beloved Habib, then you cannot fail.
Then you will need these stages as well. Some people, they stop smoking cigarettes and think, let's go to one less, and they go into the e-cigs, and then they say, let's go to the shisha as well, the shisha pipes. They think that slowly
shisha, hookah, people think
that
they're
slowly going to come off. But you know people who've stopped smoking cigarettes and they've been smoking shisha for 5, 6, 7, 10 years. So that trick.
I've seen people where they used to smoke cigarettes, they came on the e-cigs and they've gone back again.
We've got
a video call, inshallah.
Just on the shisha point, sorry, officer. The doctor's actually saying, this is important to share with the viewers, is they are many times worse because they do a lot more damage to the lungs than a normal
cigarette. They don't have a filter, do they?
They don't have the filter as well, but it's the sheer volume of what you're taking in. A lot of people are under the deception that because it's passed through water, in some way it purifies. But it's not the case. Actually, the doctors say, if you research it, actually there's a lot of research now going into these shishas, and there are a lot, it's like smoking, I think I read somewhere from recollection, I'll try and find it when we go to the video, but I think it's like smoking, a few hooks on the shisha is like smoking 10 cigarettes at the same time. But I'll find it, but they are bad.
Let's go to the video call, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, my name is Isa Mahmood, I'm 7 years old, I'm from Batia, I'm going to read some of the shajara. Ya ilahi rahma farma Mustafa ke waasite Ya rasool Allah karam ki jay khuda ke waasite Mushkile hal kar shahi mushkil kusha ke waasite Karbala e rad shahi de Karbala ke waasite Sayyid e sajjad ke sadke me sajid rakh mujhe ilm e haq de ba kare in me khuda ke waasite Sidq e sadiq ka tasadduq sadiqul islam kar be ghazab razi o qazi او رضا کے واسطے پہلے معروف او سڑی معروف دے بے خود شریف جند حق میں گنجنے دے با صفا کے واسطے پہر شبلی شیر حق دنیا ایک تن سے بچا ایک کارک عبد واحد بے ریا کے واسطے قدری کر قدری رکھ قدری او میں اٹھا قدر عبدالقادر قدر رچنما کے واسطے
I found that research, okay. And basically what it said is that because of the way that these shishas are, with the aroma and the smells that they have, it is much more dangerous and there are much more risks associated with it than a normal cigarette, because you are taking in an average session 2 to 3 times more nicotine, up to 25 times more tar, and up to 50 times more lead into your lungs with a shisha. This is how dangerous these things are. Another thing that it says here is this, and it's pretty obvious as well. When you're smoking, you're not taking in a lot of the smoke. With the shishas, you take in and hold. What it says here, you take in and you hold and take deep breaths and you hold the smoke for much longer, which causes damage to the lungs.
Our topic of today was drugs and smoking. Harun Bhai, last words, please, of wisdom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hafsab, this is something that destroys lives. Now, what we need to do is approach it in a very clever and very full and thorough way. Because why? We are risking our family life, our children's lives, and the Islamic society generally. Mm. And the most important thing is that as your children are growing up, teach them the importance of staying away from drugs. Right? Don't leave it to the other things. The problem is we send the child to the madrasa for 2 hours and we expect Imam Sahib to teach them everything. Yeah. It doesn't work that way. The other thing is this. If you instill in your child as he's growing up a good understanding of Islamic knowledge, you've got Madni Channel at home. Mm. You've got upbringing, regular namaz, Quran, everything else. That will have an effect. But it may not be the solution to your problem. But I've got the solution to the problem because I've seen it. I've seen it work effectively.
Mashallah.
The madani environment of Dawat Islami will change them. If you travel on the madani kafilas of Dawat Islami, bring your children with you. I try to take mine as much as I can. Mm. Yeah, other people do. And there's always an example I use of a brother who regularly used to send his children to the madani kafilas. And alhamdulillah, there are now almost 20, 21. And you see them, mashallah, Dari Sharif, really feet mashallah on the ground. And that is the barakat of the madani kafilas. You make sure that your children attend the Thursday Ishtamas. If it's daughters, make sure they attend the daughters Ishtamas, because Dawat Islami has those up and down the country. And then you make sure that you travel regularly on the Madni Kaflas with your boys. Mm. Take them with you. I'm going to be working so I can't go. No, take that time off and alhamdulillah, let the brothers like Hafiz Saab talk to the children, make them aware. You might not be able to communicate with them that well. Yeah? But if people like Wasim Bhai, people like Hafiz Saab will be able to talk to your children and make them aware of the dangers of drugs. And that one Madani Kafla may save your entire household.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah khaira. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, sadly we've run out of time, but please, if you know anyone who does take drugs, help them. Jazakallah khaira for watching. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu sadqiyar.
Islam is the way of life. Islam is the way of life.